Welcome. My name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life.
About the subject of steadfastness, how this gets into missions, I'm not really sure how the Lord wants to do it all, but I will give you a few principles of faith promise mission giving. And at the end, you can just wave, a preacher, wave at me at about a 20 after, a quarter after, and maybe we can have some time for some questions about a faith promise mission giving, about world evangelism. Maybe you know quite a bit about it. I'm not sure, but anything down that line about missionaries, deputation, furlough, not that I know everything, I sure don't, but we know where to get the answers, right? This Holy Bible. And just for the fact that, you know, God is kept us in it for a while, maybe we can answer the question. If not, I'll defer to your pastor. But there's no dumb questions, so please feel free to ask anything about that. I think we'll start off in the book of Corinthians. So if you'll take your Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, if you're able to stand, I'd like to honor the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, wonderful chapter, and I'll invite your attention to the motto of the nursery. No, it's what people use in the nursery. A lot of times they put verse 51 on the wall of the nursery. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. People put that there. But the context of this chapter is of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Of course, it gives a great definition of the gospel of grace, the gospel defined there in the first four verses. But let me read down through verse 58. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so look at that phrase there, that statement in verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. And for the next few moments, I'd like just to speak of the Lord helping me on a few different areas of that thought, be ye steadfast. Let's pray together. You pray for me. Father, we thank you for the Sunday Bible hour, the Sunday school, Lord. Thank you so much for what you're doing in this church. Thank you for these dear folks who have made an effort to come. And Lord, may we be a blessing and a help. And I just pray that you would have free course. And Father, we would take it and lay it to heart today, whatever you'd have for us. And we love you and pray this in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. Okay, you may be seated. The Mormons get hung up on the baptism of the dead. And of course, they need to see this chapter in the light of the resurrection of Jesus Christ when they baptize by proxy some good Latter-day Saints. I don't think they want to associate with Mormons anymore, brother. But they baptize people over 100 times, trying to baptize them out of punishment. But we know the only way is through Jesus Christ. Amen. And you cannot be baptized to get your sins forgiven. But if you look back in the first part of this chapter, it talks about in verses 1 through 4. I think I'll read this about the gospel and then we'll hit a few verses, because I was always taught when you see the word therefore, you back up to see what it's there for. And in verse 58, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. So why are we to be steadfast? Why are we to be unmovable? Why are we to be always abounding in the work of the Lord? Well, if you see a few things here in verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. You know, one reason we need to be steadfast is for the sake of the gospel. I like this, for the faith of the gospel. I like getting scriptures on the wall. Man, that just, we have some on our church walls, and that really was a blessing. But it says, for the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. You know, another reason why we need to be steadfast is because we're saved. And thank God for salvation. We'll speak a little bit, Lord willing, on that in the church service to come. But on down through here, I highlighted a few areas in verse 10. By the grace of God I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. You know, one reason we need to be steadfast is because of the grace of God in our life. Thank God for the grace. Brother Dan Lemon, pastor, told me the other day he met a family that was in a charismatic background, and they did not believe in the grace of God. And it's so sad, because it's just a vicious cycle of trying to do and to do. Aren't you glad this morning that the work of Christ is already done? Amen. He said it's finished. You don't have to do. It's done. And so I'm thankful. I'm very thankful. Where would we be without the grace of God? Sure. I don't know, Sister Lee, if you've heard that song, Were It Not for Grace. And the song goes on to say, I know where I would be. I'd be headed down a road to nowhere. And, you know, thank God for the grace of God, His love, His pity, His kindness, God's riches at Christ's expense, God's unmerited favor, and so much more in the grace of God, His amazing grace. But you know why we need to be steadfast? For the gospel, the fact that we're saved, and for the fact of His grace, His marvelous grace, that He would take our place, amen, be our substitute. And then verse 11, therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. Because we believed, someone cared enough about you to tell you the gospel truth. I think we're going to have opportunity to give our testimonies, how we came to Christ. And, you know, thank God, Brother Scotty, we have the guy that led me to the Lord, the man that led me to the Lord, is going to be with our church in December. He's still serving God. He's still preaching. And that was 48 years ago when I was saved. I won't tell you everything, but it was a long time ago. But he's going to come back to preach for our church. And then verse 17, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Thank God for faith. You know, if the Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And we read those verses last night. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so one reason we should be steadfast is because of the faith. And just a couple others here. The Bible says our faith is not in vain. How many of you would raise your hand and you know of a loved one, someone in your family that has gone on to be with the Lord, and they're in heaven right now? Just raise your hand. You know what? That's another reason that we should be steadfast, is because of those who are already, gone to be with the Lord, and will all be resurrected one day. Thank the Lord, we'll meet them again. And it talks about hope in verse 19. And then he says in verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead. So these are all reasons that we should be steadfast. Now, what is a definition of steadfast? By the way, the word is used 11 times in God's Word. It's used some other ways like steadfastness. But the word steadfast, 11 times, and it means this, the definition, how of firmly affixed or constant, resolute, not fickle, not wavering. But it means that you're fixed, you're settled, your roots are deep, and so you're steadfast. And I'll ask you a convicting question. Questions are convicting. How deeply are you rooted in your faith in Christ? How deep are your roots? Are you steadfast? You know, we live in such a day of movement. I mean, everything seems to be moving and fast. Everything seems to be changing. Some things change, and you really don't have control over those things. Here's one of them. You know, you get older, and it's out of your control. You just keep, longer the Lord allows you to live, the older you get. I was talking to somebody on the plane coming over here, and he was saying, yeah, my knees are getting where they need to be fixed. My elbow, I have tennis elbow. I need this surgery. I can't hear. I have to have hearing aids. And he was just going on and on. He says, I guess it's old age. You know, and the older you get, the more things go south and things start to happen. My dad, he says he's got more parts up in heaven than he does here on earth. You know, he just keeps laying up parts. He lost his leg. You know, he has this and that up there. But he's not complaining. He gives God glory for all of that. But he's looking for the day when he will be changed and glorified in this glorified body. But some things change and you really can't control. And then some things you can control. Some things people, they just want to get out of God's will, or they want to jump for whatever reason. Well, even the children of Israel, you think of their example, how they wanted change. They wanted out of Egypt. They begged God to be out of Egypt. And then after God got them out, they murmured against God's man. They murmured about their food. They wanted the leeks and the garlics. And so what was the problem? They weren't content. Yes, they forgot the mighty miracle of God bringing them through the Red Sea. And so a lot of times, for whatever reason, people want to move, and sometimes a lack of contentment. And the Bible says we're to be content. Sometimes it's sin. Sometimes it's covetousness. Sometimes it's greener pasture. I tell my people all the time, be careful about greener pastures. Because a lot of times the grass grows greener over the septic tank. And so I don't know if you know about septic tanks out here, but we have a lot of septic tanks in Arizona and not much grass out there. But it's a lot greener over there. People change. In fact, in our place where there's a lot of churches and where I was raised up, there's so many churches out here, not so much. But people change churches, Pastor. And in what I think, in my opinion, they change churches much too often. And what's the problem? They're not going to be steadfast. Or it's that greener pasture over there. And what I've seen in the time that God's allowed me to be there in Glendale, I'll tell you this, there's no perfect church. Because churches are made up of people. And people are sinners, amen, and hopefully saved by the grace of God in the church. But, you know, people say, well, I'm going to go over there. That church is better. And what they don't know is I know that pastor, and I know that congregation, and I go to breakfast with that pastor, and he's got problems just like every other church. And so sometimes people, you know, they need to understand that it's not always what it appears to be. So we're admonished and we're told in the Word of God, be ye steadfast. And you consider these truths in this chapter. And there's so many things we need to be steadfast in. I'll just hit a few real quick about steadfastness. And let's go to Proverbs, the book of Proverbs. Some areas that I'm thankful that people are steadfast in. And I always want to tell you this, that Jesus, He is our wonderful example of steadfastness. Aren't you glad He didn't quit on the Via Dolorosa as He was going up Calvary's Hill? He didn't quit when they nailed the nails in His hand. He went all the way and finished what He started out to do. I'm thankful for His steadfastness. But Proverbs 17, I don't know if you're there, 17:17 says this, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. And you know, friends shouldn't be, one day I'm your friend, one day I'm not your friend. I don't like the way you did this or did that or appeared to be in that. But what's the Bible say? A friend loveth at all times, the Bible says, not just in the good, but in the bad. And then chapter 18, verse 24, you're right there. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You know, I know who that person is. Jesus Christ, our great Savior. Such a sympathizing Savior. And I want you to know, He loves you today. And He's the greatest friend. I tell our people all the time, this is not my best. My wife of 35 years, she is not my best friend. She's my second best friend. My first best friend is my Savior, my Lord and Savior. And a lot of times you hear people say that, well, that's my soulmate, that's my very best friend and such as that. What happens when that person dies? You see, but you'll never lose the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. So she's my second best friend. And we do have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But people are blown about. People are moving about, changing all the time. Let's look at a couple verses. Well, you're in Proverbs, so stay there. Proverbs 25, verse 19. I got to hurry to leave time for questions. Proverbs 25 and verse 29. Well, maybe that's not it. 25:19, that's correct. Thank you, brother. 25:19. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Do I have time to tell you this quick story? We were coming back from California on vacation just about a month ago, and we were around the Redwood Forest, coming down the Oregon coast, kind of into the Redwood Forest there around San Francisco. And I really haven't lost anything in San Francisco. That's just the way we were coming through. And my wife says, do you want a piece of Big Red chewing gum? I said, sure. So she hands me a piece of Big Red. And I'm chewing and driving down the road. And all of a sudden, I said, whoa, my whole crown of my tooth popped off with that chewing gum. And it hadn't been too long. I had it put on. I said, wow, there's my tooth. Thank God I didn't swallow it, you know, but there's the crown. That's a lot of money. And so I've got it there kind of on the console, and she's already on the smartphone. Thank God for a smartphone, looking for a dentist. The problem was it was Saturday around 8 o'clock in the morning, and we were out in the middle of nowhere, bad reception. And so she found a dentist. He was an older man. He said, oh, I can't fix your tooth. I'm 40 miles away or something. I'm out of town. So he said, you might check this city or this city. So little bitty towns. I mean, population about 300, 400, really remote areas. And so we called this one. And lo and behold, they were open. And so we went there real quick. And there was nobody there. And they took us right up on the second story. It's like a family medical practice building. And they prepped me and, were getting ready to fix it and glue it back on or whatever and clean it up. And the young dentist came in, and he was a young black man, and he said, "This is interesting." He said, "There's a purpose in this." This is what he's telling me. He says, "It's a Saturday morning. You're from Arizona, coming back from vacation. And what's the mathematical chances of you finding a dentist open?" He said, "We are the only one open for 200 miles. And, I can fix your tooth." He said, "But there must be..." This is what he's telling me. I'm in the chair, you know. He said, "There must be a purpose in this." And I said, "There is a purpose for me coming here on Saturday." I was able to share Christ with him. But I don't know if he got saved. But you know what? Sometimes, there are things that happen in our life. And it says here in verse 19, "He's confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint." And that's not good. We need people. We need to put our confidence in things that are faithful. And I'll tell you, this word is faithful. His word is true. And our Savior is faithful. Let's just look at a couple more verses and I'll try to wrap it up. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. I definitely want to show you these two passages. Thank God you have a pastor who has been faithful. And there's so many people that are not faithful in preaching the word, being instant in season. 2 Timothy, did I tell you that? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." Do you see that, Pastor, in your town, in your place? "They will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." Pastor, just keep on doing what you're doing. Just keep on knocking on doors. Keep preaching the gospel. Keep preaching the truth. Be ye steadfast in that. And then Ephesians. Go quickly to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. We see a lot of this in our area, in our city. In Ephesians 4, verse 14. Ephesians 4, verse 14. "That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive." You know, sometimes people seem blown about. And thank God for discipleship. Thank God we can teach people to be grounded. And you know what? I need to be steadfast. My people need to be steadfast. And you know, folks, you need to be steadfast in your walk with the Lord. Amen. Get up on Sunday morning and Monday morning and read the Word of God. Have a time with God. And just not a verse or two. And meditate upon the Word day and night. And you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth His fruit in His season. So don't turn away. Be steadfast. Be steadfast. Hey, folks, look, be steadfast in your mind and your emotions and your feelings and your attitude. We were talking with the pastor's wife this morning about Coke and Pepsi and coffee and things like that. And we need to be careful in those areas. But, you know, I think of some people in our church. I'm not gossiping. I'm not running them down. But if there's a Pepsi in them, they're doing great. They're on the cloud 10, you know, cloud 9. But if they don't have their Pepsi, they don't have their coffee, they've got the grumble. They've got, what's that little Patch Pirate song? Not the Wiggle Worms, but they got the grumble grumbles. They're eating worms, you know. They don't want anything to do with God. They don't want to be nice to you because they haven't had their morning coffee. But you know what? We should be like the thermostat back there on the wall. Christians should be steadfast. You set it on a degree and you just hold it. Doesn't matter if the hot comes or the cold comes, that thermostat stays right there. And you know, in our emotions and in our minds and in our feelings and in our attitudes, we should be steadfast. And we need the Spirit. We need to be led of the Spirit. We need to die to ourselves and die to the flesh and be led of the Spirit if we're going to be steadfast, but not just when you feel good. Hey, in Phoenix, we have the heat. We have a lot of sunshine and record temperatures. It's like 110 or 100. You have the snow. We have the opposite. But you know, we need to be steadfast, rain or shine, hot or cold. Don't be up and down. Be ye steadfast. I should not only be happy if you have your Coke or coffee or Pepsi or addiction or Starbucks or Dutch Brothers, so on. Amen. So be ye steadfast. Be steadfast in your church attendance, in your walk with Christ. Well, our priority doesn't matter if I'm a pastor, doesn't matter if you're a lay person, doesn't matter who you are. If you're one of God's children, one of Christ, and thank God, just think of that. We're one of His. Sure. We can get our prayers answered. We can go to the Father. But listen, our number one priority is our walk with Christ. Amen. That's it. And then my dear wife. And then we have a lot of other responsibilities and hats that we wear. So be steadfast. Now, how do we do that? Well, we certainly need the Lord's help. We need Jesus. We need His compassion upon us. We need the Holy Spirit's leading. We need to remember this. And some of you, you say, well, this is a missions conference and a revival. Yes, we need to be steadfast in our missions giving. It's 20 after. We need to be steadfast. When you make a commitment to step out by faith and give for the worldwide evangelization through this local New Testament church for this coming year, you need to be steadfast in that. Keep what God has laid on your heart, and the Lord will enable you to do that. Follow the Spirit and not your desires. Real quickly, are you abounding in the work of the Lord? Are you steadfast? For some here today, it wouldn't take much. It wouldn't take much to pull you away from your walk with God. Man, I tell you what, I highly recommend this Sunday school curriculum. Dr. Clarence Sexton, we've used some of those. They are just some of the best Sunday school curriculum. Get in and get to studying the Bible in Peter. What a great time in this age we live to study the book of Peter in a day of persecution. But how much would it take to move you away from God? You see, God never moves. We're always the one that moves. But thank God, a person like Peter, who backslid, heard the crow 3 times, but Jesus didn't forget about him. He said, and remember Peter, there in Mark chapter 16. And you know, he came back. I'm so thankful. But don't move from your place with God. Be steadfast. Hey, some of you, it wouldn't take much for you to leave your church. It wouldn't take too much. A better job or more money. You know what? That doesn't mean that it's worth it. You could give countless testimonies on how many times people have got out of the will of the Lord for money. Yes, you know, I know your pastor is supposed to be here because everything about Green Bay and the weather of Green Bay and the area goes against his flesh. I know he likes the hot weather. But you know what? That's denying yourself. And that's God. Hey, how much would it take? Would it take a better job? Don't cash in. Never sacrifice on the altar of the present for the future. Don't cash in the future what God has on the altar of the present. So many times people want a quick fix and they'll jump. They'll sacrifice the present for money, this or whatever, and they'll sacrifice the future of their children and where they get out of the will of God for them. And so be steadfast. Think about that. In marriage, even, what would it take? Some person to come, beautiful person to come on the job or whatever, and you sacrifice those holy vows and that heavenly marriage. Marriage is holy before God. And I have a lot to say about that, but I won't. But people say, well, I'll just do this, I'll do that. Hey, stay with what God puts you in. Finish the race. Run the race that is before you and be steadfast. So much more to say about that. We got about 7 minutes. Let's talk about missions just for a minute. Read your bulletins. We'll talk more about what faith promise is, but it is biblical. It's by faith. Our church has been participating all these years, and by God's grace and through faith, we've reached more than we've ever could have done without these very principles found in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3, "For to their power I bear record, yea, beyond their power." And what is it defined? Faith, promise, mission is defined. It's defined as a systematic plan of purposeful giving above the tithe. By the way, the tithe is not ours. It's the Lord's. And it's above our tithe. And it's for the missionary ministry of your local church. What I love about Faith Promise Missions is so unselfish. You know, you take this money. It doesn't come to us pastors. We send it out to missionaries. And it gives us an idea how many missionaries to take on. For instance, if you just throw out a figure, and you need to pray, and everyone needs to be praying about what God would have you to give, and everybody can give something. But if you gave perhaps $25 a week, I don't know what the church supports missionaries at. It's not any of my business. But say you wanted to support a missionary at $100 a month. Well, if you gave 25 a week, then you would support one missionary all by yourself. And what a blessing. Or maybe you could support two. But this is done, and the commitment is normally for 1 year and is renewed each year at the annual missions conference of your church. And you'll be amazed how God can provide. There's so many things, but don't quit. Don't quit on your missions giving. Don't remember what God laid on your heart and pray the money in, and so many things else I want to say. Maybe tonight, if you'll come back tonight, we'll talk more about that.
Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.